Thanks, Glenn. Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge the Noongar people, Wayimba Thanavia. Hello, everybody. Ngala Kulish Nija, Noongar Wajak Buja. So I acknowledge the Noongar people, their elders, Jamal Kabali, on whose land we meet today, and also acknowledge the Dukupa, the dreaming stories associated with this country. Today's theme is around how industry, how government, how we're working to empower Indigenous people through education, through employment, and through advocacy. I just wanted to touch base in regards to some of the points that I mentioned in Sean's introduction, but also Glenn touched on it as well, and it's this concept of connectedness and culture. From an Indigenous perspective, I grew up on a remote pastoral station just south of Valuna in a very, very cultural setting. And I consider myself very fortunate that I had that upbringing. I was surrounded by family, extended family. I learnt about my culture, about my drukapa, the creation, the dreaming stories. I learnt how to read our environment, how to live off the land. And those aspects of my early days resonate strongly with me and really have shaped my identity to this point in time. And I mention this because it gave me a greater awareness throughout my whole career and appreciation of cultural protocols. And you cannot isolate Indigenous strategies, Indigenous policies, without actually touching the heart of who Aboriginal people are. All of us intrinsically are connected to the land, to the environment. This is a facade, it's here. And when you're shaping these policies, when you're putting them in practice, you can't put one in isolation without actually reaching into who Aboriginal people are, the soul of who our culture is. I'm going to share a story with you, and I know some people in the room have probably heard this story before. It's about Kerry. The Kerry Group Holdings, one of the largest, if not the largest, Aboriginal organisations in this country. And I love telling this story because it's a story of success, but it's also very much a story about hope. For every single Aboriginal business, every single Aboriginal individual, entrepreneur that has a concept and idea that they want to push. Back in 1994, a young Indigenous entrepreneur by the name of Daniel Tucker sat opposite a group of mining magnates in the Northern Goldfields, just outside of Laverton. And his conversation was around, I'm not looking for a handout here, I'm looking for an opportunity. Give me an opportunity which I can take and run with. To their credit, the people sitting opposite him said, yep, fair enough. We've got a contract here. It's going to cost you about $5.5 million. You go away, raise $5.5 million, and this contract's yours. 1994, Indigenous, no household, no land value, no collateral. Daniel wasn't perturbed by that. He went out. He went to every financial institution in this country. Knocked back. But finally, an Asian offshore banking unit said, yeah, here's the money. Offset that initial contract as collateral, and 25 years later, Kerry are still on that site. They still have that same contract. And in that time, as I said, they've grown to be one of the biggest Aboriginal corporations in this company. Diversified in that time as well. So, and Glenn mentioned the diversification or the Aboriginal procurement policy. That allowed Kerry to jump from being a mining rehabilitation company to being a big player in the civil construction space as well. We're also an RTO. From business at the moment, roughly 250 people across our business. And what we're really proud of is our diversity. Over the life of Kerry, 40% Indigenous employment probably sitting at the moment around 38-39%, but also from a gender perspective, we're sitting around 18% gender diversity at the moment. That's been as high as 25%. So very, very diverse, multicultural organisation, and we're really proud of those facts. Kerry, over the next couple of slides, I just wanted to reiterate, I guess, our journey, some of the things that have worked for us as an organisation, and share some of the successes, what's worked, the heart of Kerry, who we are as a cultural organisation, some of the things that have shaped us, and maybe impart some of our success onto the room. We really have a number of strong suite of policies around employment, education, training, business procurement, cross-cultural appreciation, and also social investment. They're all entwined into what makes Kerry such a great company. The first one here around education, and that young lady for us ticks every single box we can possibly have. She's female, she's Indigenous, and she's an engineer. And she's ours. And we've got another one, we've got two of them. And for an organisation like Kerry to actually be able to attract someone like that is a real credit. And she works on a number of our civil construction projects, and as I said, we're really proud of her. I have to stress the importance of having alternate pathways when it comes to employment. And recognise that Indigenous people, we come from very diverse backgrounds, experiences and learning. We all can't get entry points into the workforce through one level. So we're an RTO, so we're able to provide Cert 2, Cert 3 pre-employment courses so people can go in as greenies into the workforce. We also have a number of partnerships with various universities around the country, which allows us to tap into that high-level white-collar professional market as well. And really, for an organisation like us to tap into that, we basically have to identify someone from birth. Otherwise, you're competing with the big players, and there's a few in this room. So identify people pretty early on, young leaders, even at primary level, and nurture them through. Give them the sustenance that they'll get you through there. The other important thing around the employment education sector is having tangible opportunities at the end of it. That's not always easy, but Aboriginal people will tell you they're the most trained race on the planet. If you can create pathways, have partnerships with either government or industry, which leads to full-time meaningful work, that's what the aspiration should be. And that's certainly what we try to achieve at Kerry. Training and employment, once again, I think the most important thing here, which I'd like to get across, is around mentorship. At each of our projects, each of operations, we have designated Indigenous mentors that work one-on-one with each person that we have in our organisation. That's to make sure that they're accommodated, we're listening to what they're saying if there's issues, and we're able to provide that support. The other important factor in regards to our employment and training strategies is to support cultural differences. So those things I mentioned up front around an appreciation of culture, appreciation of the protocols that may differ between group to group, individual to individual. At the heart of an Aboriginal person, though, is this intrinsic culture aspect. It's who we are. We need to be able to shape our policies and our strategies, and we have, around those people. So a lot of work goes into that space. Indigenous businesses. Kerry, wherever it works, and I know a lot of organisations in this room very much share the same principle, wherever we work, we form relationships with Indigenous groups, whether they be traditional owner groups, whether they be individuals, whether they be community groups, NGOs. All of our partnerships are based on 50%, nothing less. So it's a 50-50 joint venture between Kerry and our Indigenous partner. And the reason why that's the case is because all we are is the asset, the collateral, to get organisations to the front door. All the goodwill resides with them. It's their country. So we recognise that, and that's our approach to Indigenous businesses. I think the other important point here, and certainly Kerry and the evolution of Kerry can attest to this, is that our opportunities have come through long-term contracts and also sole sourcing. The longer the contract, the more ability that an organisation, the Aboriginal organisation, has the opportunity to raise capital, to finance equipment, and to be around for another 5 years and build upon that relationship. It's really the crux of who Kerry are and how we've grown. As I said, we've basically been at Sunrise for 25 years. We've got long-standing relationships with other multinationals in the room as well. And it's built on the back of long-term sustainable contracts. Cross-cultural awareness, and this comes to the heart of what I spoke about earlier on. Isolating Indigenous employment strategies or procurement strategies, not taking into consideration the cultural heart of who an individual is probably always doomed for failure. And we really focus on three tiers of cultural awareness. Introduction, so through your induction process. We also run half-day courses with all our people, including our contractors. And then we also run courses for our supervisors. So on our sites, on our projects, we provide training around cultural protocols, around the need perhaps for eye contact, for bereavement leave, for a whole range of different things, which assist and support that whole mentoring and support that's in place for Aboriginal people. And the social investment aspect. As an Aboriginal organisation, the social content, you really can't separate from who we are as a business. You really can't separate it. And we don't want to. Our key focus areas, health, education, culture, well-being, youth, they're all about making the community and the people that we're trying to attract into our business and the relationships that we're trying to build, empowering them. We're making them strong. We're making them healthy. That has a direct social commercial value return for each of us. And I just mentioned there in the presentation, major partnerships. We have a handful of major partnerships. We also have relationships with NGOs. And on an individual perspective, case by case, we put back into individuals as well. Caring communities. This is one of the partnerships that we're quite proud of. And I mention it because, once again, it comes back to how we support and ensure that an organisation and its people are healthy. So in 2017, we ran approximately 5,000 individuals through our courses, roughly 250, 260 different workshops. And the content of those courses are around, could be as diverse as cyberbullying, it could be around how to manage your finances, a whole range of different things. But the whole program is around building, sustaining Aboriginal people. I just wanted to finish off, and as I said, I just wanted to give an outlay of Kerry because I think it is a great story, and it's an example of success and what we do in that space. How do we get there? Firstly, there needs to be an opportunity or a catalyst for change. Glenn mentioned the Commonwealth procurement policy, the state procurement policy. Recognition that one size doesn't fit all. maximising internal and external stakeholder support. And don't be afraid of failure. You know, if things don't work the first time, that's not a reason to give up. Because once we get to success, success breeds success. And I guess that's my parting thoughts. Thank you.